Howdy, everyone. We'll give it a little minute or two more to see who else joins us. I see we got Dennis and Joe here. Dennis and Joe, do y'all have anything for the agenda today? If not, we can just do some of the old implementers topics that are still open. Or if anybody else has anything they want to bring up before we jump into that.
I've got nothing for today.
I think I had one question, but I'm just looking for my notes here. I just need a minute. Thanks. Yeah, I did have one question. I think we touched on this, but I hope you all can hear me okay.
Yes, we can hear you.
Thanks. I thought maybe we would have it might spur some interesting discussion to talk about this at the risk of opening a giant can of worms. So maybe if we want to put 10 minutes aside, we could talk about this thought that relates to a story that we're implementing.
Now we can talk about it as long as we need to, Dennis. We don't really have anything else today except for old topics, so
Okay.
go for it.
So we are, how to word this? Okay, I'll show you all. I'm going to share my screen quickly. Safari bits. And I think we did have some discussion around this a while ago when it originally came up. This is a screenshot of a purchase order, and we have a purchase order summary accordion. We've always had it, where you can see the values associated with that particular order. It's like a summary of all of its order lines. We show total estimated price, total encumbered, total expended, total credited. Now, this has kind of evolved a little bit over time. Obviously, we've had different summary values over a number of releases. This is the current layout. As it were, as of Ramson's, I think we show total credited, if memory serves. That was when we split expended and credited apart. So there's the estimated price, the encumbered amount, the expended amount, the credited amount. Actually think we might even show. Never mind. We won't go there. So this story is about allowing users to see the summary of values for previous years. So the thing about this mock-up that's unique is that there's a fiscal year select box here, where presumably you can choose previous years. So I think, the most common situation would be that this maybe was an ongoing order, and for whatever reason you wanted to quickly, you're looking at the purchase order and you would qu quickly like to see the summary for maybe 2, 3 years ago. And this would allow you to call that up here and see the values in front of you. There's a somewhat unique reason why this all came up that comes from use cases that come from the Library of Congress, where they actually operate in more than one fiscal year at a time, or they can. So it's kind of even more relevant in their system because they will have orders remain open for previous years, and they have like a certain amount of time to pay that order against that previous year. So that bucket of money, I think, is accessible to them for more than just one calendar year. As long as they committed to purchasing that thing in a particular year, they have a number of years to complete that acquisition. I'm probably not describing that very well, but I hope that makes sense. So that's a pretty unique scenario from what we understand of how libraries, in this group, how we've talked about over many years, having acquisitions be very focused on the current fiscal year. And in more and more places, we are, I think, making it possible for you to look at something in the context of previous years. We do this in the finance app when you're looking at groups, for example. You can look at, the current year. You can look at previous years. You may have groups that involve funds that are related to different ledgers that are on different fiscal years. And so you have that fiscal year selection. It's been there probably the longest amount of time. But still, for the most part, Folio UI is, I don't know if I want to say assuming, but the Folio UI is focused in acquisitions, is really focused on the current fiscal year. And I wanted to have some conversation around whether there are other use cases where users have found that problematic. Yeah, Lisa mentioned in chat that she just looks at the invoices accordion, and you can see by fiscal year what's been spent. Very true. In some cases, maybe it's a little more complicated if you have multiple invoices per year or something. You have to do the summary yourself. Very similar. Maybe it is the case that this really isn't a problem. We do have another story about displaying a fiscal year select at the ledger level.
Sarah has her hand raised.
Ah, sorry, I don't see the hands right now. Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay. Like you said, I think that the Library of Congress's situation is unique. We obviously don't have this ability to pay for things in other fiscal years and so forth. But having said that, and like Lisa, is it in chat, who says, I just look at the invoices accordion. Exactly, I do that too. But like you also mentioned, if you have lots of invoices, then you're sitting there trying to do the math. And so it would be really great to be able to have a summary of those amounts already, you know, the math already done for you, so to speak, by fiscal year. Where this could be, I could see being really super useful to me is if then equally over on the POL side, on the package, if my package POL could then in the package title section also be able to be parsed by fiscal year. So, because what has happened is now as we've now been, I forget how many years now in Folio, right? I've started actually closing for my approval plans, closing the PO every year and then duplicating it and using the same PO number with a new fiscal year suffix, not because I don't because I want the same PO number. I want my approval plan to have the same PO number, but the POL title section is getting so overwhelming at the end of the by once you have one
So
fiscal
many
year,
titles.
right? So many titles that it just becomes useless, right? Like to keep going. So, you know, in the beginning we thought we would just run it, but then we discovered after 2 years, like, oh my God, now it's getting out of control and we can't handle it anymore. So then we started doing this. But then if something like this could be introduced, then that wouldn't be necessary. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, to relate the receiving title with a fiscal year, or to keep track of what's been added within a given time period, that would ultimately be the fiscal year.
Right. And also visually then, because very often you're kind of browsing it and stuff. And so then if it crosses fiscal, like if you just keep adding, then it just keeps alphabetizing and gets right. So you do want that fiscal year segment. And then you could see, okay, I spent this much, and these are the titles I spent, you know, I bought. And it would correspond, and then that would be super useful. Otherwise, I'll keep doing what I'm doing, and that works too. But this would just be, yeah, nicer.
So, where are you navigating those titles primarily? Would that be in like in the receiving app, or are you thinking when you're looking like in the orders app? When you're
No,
doing the purchase
if
order.
you're on the POL on the purchase order line segment and you open that accordion for the POL titles because you have that fast add, you know, and
Yeah, they're looking at all the
after you
titles.
have right after you have like 10 titles, then it's really hard to actually work there. And then we do just go over to receiving and start working there. But again, but then you're in receiving, right? And then you don't have any cost information. So, you know, being able to come back and have it or, you know, being able to also view it in the POL in the purchase order is really great because again, that's one of those times where you have many, many, many invoices. And so unless you duplicate and create a new fiscal year version of your approval plan every single year, you cannot get an accurate summary because I mean, I could have basically, I get an invoice a week, right? So then by the end of the year, I have, you know, 40 invoices or, you know, or something, because you don't get one every week. And so doing the math then becomes really hard, right? So this way you could summarize the math and you could summarize and you could do the titles and have a quick view and go, oh, okay, these are the ones we got this year. And we paid this much. And
Yeah. It's an interesting example, actually. It's making me want to look back at this here.
Because it would just make this kind of specifically Library of Congress need a bit more community broadly usable or interesting or I don't know of use.
Yeah, nothing here has specified POL view. And so it is kind of, it might be interesting to think of that as the way that the ledger story is written, ledger information. We display the current fiscal year. We always have. For a long time, I think thought that this eventually would happen, that we would allow you to, view a ledger or a group or a fund, possibly even though maybe not fund, because we show all the budgets in that fund view. But for a ledger that rather than always have it fixed on the current year, you'd be able to just select the previous one and have all the numbers refresh, right, to see. And then maybe if you're exporting and things, make that quicker. It's always focused on the right year. However, think about something like a record like the POL, because it crosses over, possibly crosses over multiple fiscal years, and things happen within that year, that you would be able to view it based on a given fiscal year. And that would filter anything that is relevant to fiscal year, which might include those titles, I suppose. They all have a date created, basically. So it would be possible to say, only show me titles that were added during from this day to this day. And the dates would just be set by the fiscal year period. So if you were selecting fiscal year, you could see what the, because we also have a history of all the edits that have been made to the POL. You could see like what was the cost, what were the notes, what were the anything based on fiscal year. We could call up all of that data probably in the view. But I wonder if that's actually valuable, or if what you're talking about is more specific to the set of titles. Like, you don't actually want the notes or cost information or whatever from the past. You really just want to look at the titles or the current fiscal year. And right now, we aren't filtering title based on, well, because they also could have been added 2 years ago, but still be relevant. That would be problematic. Right? If you're adding a title to a package, in your case, you are duplicating things. Like you're recreating it every year, but theoretically, some of those titles, if you didn't have to duplicate the POL, they would be created, like added to the POL in fiscal year one. They would still appear on the fiscal year, on the POL in fiscal year three, possibly. Right.
So I guess I'm not, when I say duplicate, I just duplicate the PO and not the POL, right? Because I don't want
Right.
the titles carried forward, but I want the
Yeah.
same PO and the other information. And
Oh, I
then I
see.
think I've just copied over everything else. And then the key is I want the same PO number, and I want
Number,
certain
yeah.
information. And actually, I have to edit that. So before I open it, now that I think about this, right, I just do it once a year, is I edit the number to the number I want and then change the suffix. But I want the notes on the PO level as well.
Yeah.
But I probably don't duplicate the POL because I wouldn't want all those. I don't want all those package POLs titles, right? The receiving. And then I just
No.
copy over notes.
But the same titles, probably a number of the titles are still the same in
No.
that package,
No.
or are they all different?
They're all different.
Like
It's
every
a it's
year,
a
let's say you had Harry Potter in that package. The next year, Harry Potter will not be in that package.
If it is, then it's a then it shouldn't be.
And
Right.
then when I'm saying,
No.
like when I'm saying
So what
title.
I'm saying is no, they're supposed to be unique titles every single year. So for an approval plan, you get new titles
Right.
sent based on certain criteria that you've worked out with whichever vendor.
Right, because we're talking about acquiring a bucket of things. And if you've already acquired Harry Potter last year, you're not acquiring it again. Like, I
Right.
should say, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, like a specific title.
Right.
You're not acquiring it again through that approval plan
Right.
next year. So it is literally always all different titles each
Yes.
year in this case.
Yeah.
It's not like subscriptions, like a bucket of subscriptions where you
No,
might
it's not like a
have the
subscription
same.
at all. No.
Yeah. I get what you mean.
And that's why browsing the titles can sometimes be like,
Gross. And
yes,
more
gross,
and more gross.
but you kind of need to do it also because you open a box and there's like 10 books in there and you're adding them. And so then, you're like, oh, did I just do that one? I got interrupted. Where did I leave off? Oh, with this one. Okay, let me do this one.
Yeah,
So
they're all
you're,
just mixed together.
yeah.
That's an interesting one for sure. I mean, just trying to think of this like a simple filter. Are there other use cases where folks think the fiscal year, the fiscal year context is important. Currently, you don't really have it, or currently it's just not flexible enough for you to see the information you want to see. Similar to this situation. Doesn't have to be orders necessarily.
Jessica has her hand up.
Yeah, I guess I'll just start talking then. So I was thinking about this like in the context of the way that we will track our budget in a way. And so having the fiscal year visible, and I'm really only looking at the context of orders here. For the time that we place the order, could be helpful to us, and then seeing, if it's still open in other fiscal years, like how many fiscal years, it has been open for, can be somewhat helpful. We can kind of discern when an order was placed based on the creation date. However, with folio migration, we may have had like many fiscal years passed already, and like folio wouldn't be able to assign a fiscal year to that anyway, so it wouldn't be very helpful. But we could see how many fiscal years something has been open. For example, like some of our vendors will have had orders open for multiple fiscal years. And we can see like a creation date or a migration date, in the order record. And it doesn't necessarily match up exactly with our fiscal year though. So, our fiscal year starts in June. It doesn't start January 1st. So maybe something like that could be helpful, like in that context. We also will code the funding. If a fiscal year has already passed, like the fund code will change. There will be like a little bit of a suffix added to it, like O meaning literally old. We're very creative here. Anyway, that doesn't really
The
help
work
us know
starts.
though which like fiscal year it's from, that fund code is from. So like being able to see it might help us if we're not, looking into the creation date exactly. I mean, I guess the creation date you could say like, well, that's all you really need to know. But the update date or the creation date, I don't know. I feel like it doesn't always like really give the full picture. Like if it was manually created or if it was created in batch or something like that. Just having the fiscal years visible might help give a little bit more of the full picture to people who might have fiscal year who have orders open with vendors for multiple fiscal years. We see that with some orders that come from certain parts of the world where it's just hard to get material in general. And we do projects where we have to, clean these things up and like figure out what we want to close and what we want to keep. So I guess it could be helpful in that context.
Yeah, we as part of this, funny that you mentioned that, like as part of this, these kind of enhancements, let's say. Fiscal year transparency enhancements. We are going to display the year the order was opened. Because the date open has always been data that was captured in the POL. It didn't always appear in the view. Like that view of purchase order, but now both of these data points are displayed. So the date that the thing was opened and the fiscal year that corresponds with that date, basically. To get this, we also need to look at the funds associated with a POL because fiscal year, like if you didn't have funds, for example, then there is no fiscal year associated with it. In that, like the actual fund structure you've created in the finance application, there could be more than one fiscal year in there. With that given date range. So for Folio to be able to do it reliably, you have to have a fund code find your POL. But if you do, then it'll take this date and it'll find the fiscal year. So it is going to show from now on the year that first year, theoretically, that the order was opened in. It doesn't give you a count. So I guess you would still have to do that themselves. But is this along the lines of what you're thinking? It sounds like it is to me.
Yeah, like that, something like that, is helpful. It's just quicker, for people so they don't have to do the math.
Yeah, I'm well aware that we may not be in like critical efficiency territory here. But it is interesting to know these use cases. So I'm just capturing a few of these. Am I missing the calendar year or fiscal year? God, I imagine that was a comment about the story I just showed, like the year opened. This and that specifically is fiscal year. Yeah. So it's not the calendar year opened, it's the fiscal year opened. Which I think maybe what you're saying is, yeah, or this maybe highlights that year opened might not be specific enough. that it probably should say fiscal year opened or something along those lines. But the data that's displayed here is the name and code of the fiscal year. Yeah, thanks for that. Is there one more I want to look at here? Okay. If no one has any other comments, I think that's all the questions I had on this. Yeah. And I think that's really all the questions I had, period, for discussion today. I'll open the acquisitions topics page here.
Sorry, I think Heather had to take a quick call.
Okay.
So yeah, I think the next thing we were going to look at was just anything that's open still.
Good. I know that Aaron, I think, has also been going through this list. So I don't know if maybe he has, if we have Aaron. Aaron, do you see Aaron? I don't know if you have any questions about the stuff on the list that you've been working through. We could probably look at some of that.
I've been working through some of the in progress things. The only real question I have is there's some very early things that were most of the interested parties are Stanford, and I haven't seen any action in years, and I'm wondering if these are still features we want written up.
Did you have the numbers there?
That would be starting right back at like the top of the page at topic 33.
33. I think we might have someone at least from Stanford here. I
I'm sorry, not
saw.
Stan. I'm sorry, not Stanford. I meant Duke.
Oh, Duke.
Wrong Ivy
Yeah, I
plus.
see what you
Sorry.
mean. Okay, let me share this. Might be impossible to read. Typically is. Let's try this. Okay, so I think I could summarize this. So the thing that Julie was talking about here is the process of adding POLs to your purchase order. Sorry, adding POLs, adding invoice lines based on a POL to your invoice. So it's part of the like manually creating invoices workflow where you have like a multi-line invoice. And it's possible to click like add invoice lines based on POL and then select more than one purchase order line before adding lines to the invoice. Maybe I should open Folio. Let's go Bugfest, Sunflower. Which would be, think. Okay. So invoices, let's say open if there is any. Great. So add line from POL. Let's just go waiting receipt. So we can select a bunch of things, change our filter. Select a couple more things, change our filters again. And it shows you the total number you've selected. But there's no real easy way to review what all of those are before you click save. So when I click save, it's going to add all that stuff here. Give me some warnings, probably going to give me a bunch of warnings. Right, they're different fiscal years. Okay, so that didn't actually work, but so you can see maybe that's a reason why this might be helpful to review them before you've added them all. In the end, you could also delete the invoice lines like once they've been added if you were if you successfully added these. Let's say, try this one more time. I'm guessing all of these have the same fun code. If they even have a fun code. Yay. So we added a bunch of invoice lines based on POL. We thought, no, that wasn't one I actually wanted. I could delete that line. Delete this line. But there's no way to actually review it beforehand. So what Julie was asking for here was to have a step in between where you could go through that modal, select a bunch of stuff, and then maybe click like show me my selections in the result list. And then you could confirm, yeah, I want all these, or you could uncheck the ones that you no longer want before you click save. Does anyone have thoughts on that? Hope I explained it reasonably well.
I think that would be nice because even though you can delete things like you demonstrated, it then throws your numbers off. like your counts, you know, so then suddenly you have 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, oh, and then suddenly, so your numbers then don't. It's nice to actually have the numbers then line up with the numbers on the invoice or what you're looking at on the invoice. So being able, if I can preview it before actually creating the invoice lines, then that would help me with that numbering issue.
Oh, to reorder things.
Or if I delete them, they haven't actually been assigned a number yet, right? So if I realize
Truth.
that I don't want 4 and 5, it's not that I'm deleting 4 and 5, it's that they're not going to be 4 and 5, and number 6 will be 4.
So it will be 1 through 4 or whatever. Yeah, I see what you mean. That would be a little benefit here. It seems to me this. Sorry, were you going to say something? Did I cut you off? Did I
No,
misstate
no,
that?
no, no. You didn't cut me off. I'm fine.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. On the tangent, POLs are ordered in a certain way. So that, yeah. So Lisa's asking a question about the ordering. Okay, so I just wanted to mention, I think this is worth keeping, but I think it's not so much a specific problem for this use case. I think it's an added feature for this pattern. Like, there are a lot of places I think in Folio where we use this multi-select in a modal where it's telling you the total number selected, and you can do a different search and select more things. And I think this is used in a lot of places, and probably everywhere that it's used, it would be helpful to be able to like click on this total or something and have it just show you all those things in the select box. I don't know how difficult it would be to do. But or the best design pattern for that. But if that makes sense, Aaron, I think it's more of a component enhancement story for this, for things that use this component.
Okay, so that might be an app interaction thing or
It
something that
could be
needs to
something
go
to
to the
talk about there.
Stripes team.
Yeah, something for Stripes, probably. If this is a, I think in acquisitions, I know we use this same pattern for adding funds to groups, but I know this pattern is used elsewhere. I don't know if this is an acquisitions component, like an ACK version of the global component, or if it's just the global component. So maybe create it for Stripes, and then we'll see if what the Stripes team has to say, basically. Yeah, donors is another place this is used. That, yeah. I think it's used for adding users to ACK units and for adding, like, it might be used for adding users to roles and maybe adding interfaces to organizations or adding contact people to organizations. Like, this type, you know, this kind of pattern is used in a lot of places, I think.
It's in permissions, which
Yeah.
may not be relevant that much
So
longer.
fair. But yeah, that I in all of those cases, it seems to me like it could be useful to review all of your selections before, you know, continuing on. But to me, that would also need to be optional. Like, you don't want to be forced to review your, you know, forced to have that extra step. If you're sure, you should just be able to save. But it would be nice to be able to review all your selections. So I might write it up in that way. Question is, do we keep this on the discussion board here? Like, let's say, this story for stripes. I also don't know if it is technically possible to do. Well, I'm sure it's technically possible, but it could be a lot of work. Unsure. So I think adding in that way makes sense. On the order and invoice, vendor is not the hyperlink. An invoice. Yeah, that's the vendor, I believe. So this may still be relevant as well. I don't know, we did. Purchase order. Let's see here. Well, we did make this a hyperlink as well.
The purchase order line doesn't have the vendor. It's one of the banes of my existence.
Oh, right. It's up in the PO. But it is now a hyperlink. I think this is actually closed. At least as it was stated here. So, this was a desire to have the default soda orders. When I create an order, sorry, when I create an invoice for a given order, sure.
Yeah, when you use the add on the invoice line, when you add from a POL
UTR.
directly.
What am I showing here? Right, checked or not checked. Okay, so I should have. So this is an ongoing order. Release encumbrance was checked. And this is an ongoing non-subscription. So if subscription equals yes. Desire was this to be yeah, for subscriptions for this to be true. But for ongoing orders, for non-subscriptions, for this to be false by default. So right now, release encumbrance is checked for all ongoing orders by default.
No, it depends. It depends on how you add it to your invoice. If you go back out to your invoice, if you do action and you do not check the first one, no, please go back. You're too
Oh, sorry.
quick. Yeah. The second one, new blank line. And now if you look up that same POL, it will come over as not checked off as release encumbrance. So it depends on how you add it.
I
Yeah.
see.
See how release encumbrance is not checked?
So even though it's ongoing,
Yeah, it's dependent on how you add them, not how, what they are.
not what they are. Yeah, if you do blank line, it's assuming you're kind of customizing things. If you add from POL, it's going to do it automatically. Oopsie kitty, I guess, right? Yeah. This was done a long time ago. So the comment here, though, is about differentiating between subscriptions and non-subscriptions, like ongoing orders that are subscriptions versus ongoing orders that are standing orders, and having that setting be different. Is that still relevant? Or does the community believe that that would be valuable? And that it should be the expected behavior?
So, as somebody had as one-time orders and ongoing orders, whether they're subscriptions or standing orders, I do them all. At least now I know the rule. I know that if from the invoice I choose the top one, it will be checked off automatically. If I use the whatever it's called, the second one, where I'm editing everything, then it's going to be that I have to check it off, that I have to remember to check it off, right? So if now we throw a monkey wrench into this and say, oh no,
Switch
there's,
everything.
right? And not only that, right? Like it's not this one or this one behaves this way. You know, the what is it? The first one is add PO, add PO. What did, can you, if we go back to invoice the screen, and just see what it says if you do
So
action there, not on the order, on the invoice.
it's new blank line. Sorry.
Yeah. So if it's add line from POL, then I know it will be checked off. If
Yes.
I do new blank line, then I know I have to check it off. If now the thing is going to
Yes.
be sometimes new blank line is checked off and sometimes it's not, and I have to then figure out is it a subscription or not a subscription to make sure that I remember what, you know, like it just adds a whole nother thing for me to remember
Yes.
or to go check every time. And so I find this like adding a whole
more
least this
confusing.
way I know if I use the top one, it's fine. If I use the second one, I have to do it. Yeah. That's my feeling doing them because there's enough things that I have to remember all the little.
Yeah. At the moment, it's basically, it doesn't matter whether you, it's an ongoing order or a one-time order. If you are like, I don't know how to describe this best. If you create invoice from order, or you create invoice line from POL, like, so if you, I guess, either way, you're creating the invoice line from the POL. In those situations, release encumbrances will be checked by default. If you are adding a blank line to the invoice, but you want to pull some data from the POL, in any scenario, release encumbrance is never going to be checked as a part of that. It's not data you're getting from the POL. It is an invoice line setting that you need to manipulate here. I imagine that isn't overly clear, and it's probably not explained super well in our documentation, but what I think you're saying, Sarah, is that adding this nuance that would basically introduce more variation. It would say, if you are adding invoice line from POL in either of those ways, if the POL is associated with an ongoing subscription order, then release encumbrances will be checked. If it's associated with an ongoing non-subscription order, then release encumbrances will not be checked by default. And your sort of automated invoice creation, you will, if you really want it to release the encumbrances, you would have to go in after the fact and check or uncheck that box.
Yes, and additionally, I just want to note that where you determine whether something is a subscription or not is at the order line, at the order level. And you can have an order at the order level with POLs where some are subscriptions and some are standing.
Yes.
And you cannot make that distinction actually for them, right? Because the order determines everything for the people,
Right.
right? So that's already problematic. So then how do you go, oh, well, this one may, like it's, yeah, I think
I
this
see
will
what you mean. Yeah.
just be more
We don't allow
complicated.
blending.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So we got bigger problems, is what you're saying. So Aaron, I'm thinking for this, well, should we close this, given that, well, at least no one on the call today believes that this is still an issue, or at least important enough to be tracking. And then everyone can definitely go about their day.
Yeah, it sounds like there may be other pain points associated with this, but this doesn't seem like the way to approach it.
And it is
Let's
1 minute
see.
past the top of the hour now.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that'll do for today. Thanks very much, everyone. I will finish writing the note on here and talk to you all soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.